Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on August 10th. I hope you're having a good week. This coming week starts the beginning for kids going back to school, at least in our area, in Waverly and Ceresco and Ashland and that area. The kids start going back this week and the end of summer, the beginning of this new fall already. It seems like it comes up earlier and earlier. But hope your home and family is doing well, wherever you might be. Today also marks the beginning of when we go back to two services. So we have our 8:30 and 10:30 service again. And come on out and join us whenever you can. Sunday school begins next Sunday on the 17th of August. We will have a Sunday school at 9:30 in the middle there. For all ages, we have a few different adult classes you can take besides all of the different classes for the kids. We also have this week and next week a ministry fair going on in our entryway, which will show you different things you can sign up to be a part of at our church this fall and into the new year season. And we have different small groups, men and women's Bible studies and connecting groups, and we have four family fellowship, which is a chance to get to know new people from the church. And share a meal with them. We have service opportunities like helping out with the backpack program and many other things you can sign up for. Even just things that we do in the life of the church, like sharing meals with people who come out of the hospital or when we have funerals. There's a whole group of people signed up to help provide those things, and you could maybe help in that way. So we have sign-ups. You can find it on your church email, or you can call the church office, too, if you're unable to come in. But be able to say, where do you want to connect this year better with God and with the people of the church? And so become a part of one of those things. It would be really great. We also have today, after our second service, we have a vote of the members to approve an expansion at our youth facility. We have a second building in Waverly that is our youth center called The Cove. Our youth pastor's office is out of there, and then the kids come and meet there on Wednesday night for youth group and then other events throughout the week. And we're doing a big expansion there because we've outgrown that facility. And so we're approving the reconstruction of some of that building and some of the additional elements there to make that much more suitable for them. And so you can find out about that again. If you're a member, contact me and we will send you information about the costs of that and how we plan to pay for that. We have the money to pay for it, but all of that is there. We're also going to be doing some fundraisers and you can make a donation to it too if you would like. But God is doing some great things among our young people, and we are just thrilled about it. And so we want to keep creating a wonderful space for them to meet in, to gather in at the Cove. And so we're going to hopefully approve that today after church. Today also marks the beginning of a new sermon series. I had been, since for 35 weeks we had done the study of the Gospel of Matthew. And all those sermons will remain on YouTube there, on our YouTube page, if you ever want to go and look at them. But today we're going to start a new series on the names of God in the Old Testament in particular, and all that they teach us about God. And I'm really excited about that. There's this really great book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And my grandma gave it to me on the summer before I went into seminary, long ago. She loved the Bible most of all. It was her daily companion, and she would write in the margins. I remember seeing her Bible there and write down the little things she was learning as she was studying God's Word. And it seemed like God was always showing her things within the Word, and she would pass those on to us. But besides the Bible, my grandma loved to read other good Christian books as well. And so in the summer before I entered seminary, she wanted me to have this book. And it is Knowing God. And she actually autographed it to me, dated it, which is now very special. I've got her handwriting in there. And she told me that this book had really helped her know what the most important goal in her life was. And she wanted me to know the Lord like that too. And to remember that as I entered ministry and all the busyness of it, that ministry flows out of a relationship, a daily walk with God, to know and be known by Him, to know His love that is deeper than any ocean and wider than any sea, to know His nature and His character and His will for our lives that He reveals to us through His Spirit and His Word every day as we walk with Him and abide in Him. And my favorite part of this book that she gave me is chapter 3. And it's a chapter called Knowing and Being Known. And I want to read for you just the first paragraph of that to begin this sermon series. The first paragraph says this: What were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. For this is what Jesus said in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that they might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What is the best thing in life, bringing more joy, delight, and contentment than anything else? Knowledge of God. Jeremiah 9:23, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, nor the strong man boast in his might, nor the rich man boast in his riches, but let him that boasts boast in this, that they know me. Knowing God, that they would know me. Jeremiah 31:33, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. I'm going to put the law in their minds. I'm going to write it on their hearts. I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. And this is important for us to know, is not talking about knowing more about the Lord. It's talking knowing Him like you would a friend or a good father, someone who knows you and you know them personally. And we get to live in this communion, this daily walk, this continual conversation with our God, seeking to do His will and live in His grace and forgiveness and love. Every day, we get to have a real relationship with a real God. This is what we were made for, to be in relationship with God. Sin destroyed that relationship, but God restored it through His Son on a cross. And by faith in Him, we're brought back into fellowship with God. And through the Lord, we are able to know Him even deeper and walk with Him by His Spirit every day, to know and be known. This is the greatest joy of life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, whatever was once to my gain, I now consider a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing God. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, but I consider them garbage compared to knowing Christ and being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but a righteousness that comes from God. Based on faith, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. The greatest aspiration, to know God. Paul was not content with what he already knew about God, nor was he content that he was saved and going to heaven, but he desired to know more about the Lord every day, to know Him personally as he served Him and to live his life for Him, to keep on loving God and living in His love, to keep on learning more about the character and the nature of God and the will of God for his life and this world. What higher, more exalted, more compelling goal can there be than to know God and his salvation and love more and more? No matter what good or bad thing we're going through right now, we have an opportunity within it to get to know God even more and to experience his goodness and faithfulness and to get to know him and to see him and hear him a little bit more. That's why even when it's bad, it's good, because we got God and he's going with us through it. Well, this desire to know God even more has made me a student of God's word. Just like my grandma and grandpa and my mom and my dad, I love the Bible, and God keeps on teaching me things, as I know and pray he does for you too. Well, this fall, I felt like what I wanted to preach about and study more of were the names of God and the stories that surround those names. You see, I don't know if you know this, but the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament written in Greek. And in seminary, I learned that the Hebrew has many different names for God, but our English Bibles often just simply translate all of them God, you know, a general and universal term. But they're actually way more beautiful than that. Each name describes more of who God is and how God has revealed himself to us. For example, one of the names is El Shaddai, which is what the Israelites called God after he delivered them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. El Shaddai means Almighty God. Another name is Jehovah Jireh, which is Hebrew for God provides. The Israelites called God this while they were in the desert, just after he provided water for them when there was no water to be found. God just made it flow from a rock. And when there was no food, God just made it appear in the morning. They woke up and sang praise to Jehovah Jireh, my provider. There's the name Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us, which we sing about at Christmas, and it's found in Isaiah. How Christ is our Emmanuel, God with us. Or there's the name Yahweh, which is often called the personal name of God, because that is the name that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush to tell the people who he was. There is Adonai, which is Hebrew for Lord or Master or King, and that he is of ours. There is the name El Rohi, which is one of my favorites, which means the God who sees me. This was the name Hagar gave to God when she had been abandoned and rejected and was all alone in that dark, lonely place. She discovered she was not alone, but that God was there. He saw her when no one else did. As we study the names of God, you see, in Scripture, we learn more about this wonderful and amazing creator and savior of our life and who he is. And so today I want to start that series, and I want to start with the very first name for God that we find in the Bible. It appears in the very first chapter, the very first verse, in Genesis 1:1, and that name is Elohim. I'm going to read for you the first five verses of the Bible today. Genesis 1:1-5, and it says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. In the beginning, God. That word translated God in our Bibles, if we were to see it in the original Hebrew, it would say Elohim. And that name is found 32 times in the first chapter of Genesis, and over 2,500 times in the Bible. The only name for God spoken of more in the Old Testament than this is Yahweh, which we're going to look at next week. But Elohim is the first name given to us to describe who God is. The name literally it means strong one, or creator, eternal, the one true God. He is described in the first chapter of the Bible as the one who has no beginning, but is the beginning of all things. No one made God, but he made everything. He creates out of nothing. You and I, we can't do this. We have to have something to make something, but not God. He created the world out of nothing. He brought light into darkness. He brings order into chaos. He can make love in our heart where there is none. Nothing is impossible with God. He created everything we see. Nothing exists that he has not made. Our mind can't even fathom that. I don't know if you have ever read the book of Job in the Old Testament, but it is about a man who has lost a lot. He went through a lot of suffering and grief and sickness and was trying to make sense of it all, like we can when bad things happen to us. We can ask, why? You know, well, Job had a lot of questions about why, and his friends had all the answers for him. Philosophies, but they don't know any more than we know why things happen, but they speak anyway, you know, just like we can. And it goes on for 37 chapters, them trying to understand suffering. And then finally, in chapter 38 of Job, God speaks and everybody else gets quiet. And when God speaks, he simply says this: "Were you there when I laid the earth's foundations and marked off its dimensions and stretched a measuring line across it? Were you there when I put the stars in the sky, each one, and set a boundary for the oceans and the seas, and carved the mountains and gave orders to the morning? Can you comprehend the vast expanses of the earth? Have you ever entered the storehouses of snow or the path of the thunderstorm? Does the eagle soar at your command? Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom? I see it there on the cliff, and I watch it as it stays the night." And then God keeps on talking like this for two chapters, and then ends by saying to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." And the word there is Elohim. This is our God. He is other than us. He is bigger than us. He is more than we can possibly comprehend. And he is at the center of all things in this universe. And he holds them all together. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. He is far above. It's like Isaiah 40 says, "To whom will you compare the Lord, Elohim? Look to the heavens. Who created this? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, Elohim, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding none can fathom." None. None. 1 Kings 8:23 says, "Elohim keeps his covenant in loving kindness with his servants for all generations." David says in Psalm 91, "My Elohim, in him I put my trust." You know, in a simple sentence, if I could try to sum up what this first name of God is about, what we most learn from it, it is this, and please don't laugh, but this is the definition, this is the truth, that there is a God and you are not him. That's Elohim in a nutshell. This is Elohim. There is a God, and we are not him. He is behind all things, and in him all things hold together. There was no beginning to him, but he is the beginning. And so you see, there's a very appropriate posture then that we need to learn with this truth. And an honest humility that would come into our life that we need to realize that we did not just come about and we do not exist simply for ourselves. We aren't the most important thing in the universe. He is. We live in his world. We are just this little tiny thing, and he is this giant thing. And we dare tell him something or argue with him on how something should go? Who are we? What is our life? I didn't make the tree. I didn't make the river. I didn't carve out the Grand Canyon. I don't hold the whole world in my hands. I cannot love like he loves. I don't know how unless he shows me. I don't breathe unless he says so. And to think God, Elohim, above everything, would know every person on the planet right now, not just me and my thoughts and my heart, but he knows everyone. He made everyone. He knit each together from my own kids to that old lady in India or that young man in Pakistan, all the people of the world. He made them, and they belong to him. And when the sun comes up on a new day, it's because he said so. And when the birds fly across the sky and the rain falls on the crops and another baby is born or a man dies, it's not just because, it's because there is a God. There is a God, and I am not him. I just live in his world, and he is real. And that isn't even the most amazing thing, but what is that he wants to be real to you and me. He actually cares about us. This one who is so above us, all of creation reveals his glory and splendor, and yet he also loves you and me and made us to know him and to be in relationship. Who am I that God would know my name and care about my story? He is greater than, he is more than, he is bigger than. And still he bothers with me, and he loves me, and he made me, and he sees me, and he sent his son to die for me. The one who is behind it all wants me to be with him, sits with me in the morning when I need someone to talk to, wipes the tears from my eyes, speaks to my heart. Elohim, he is this mystery. The one true God of the whole universe, creator behind all things, the center that all that everything is revolving around. You know, you are not an accident. You are not here by your choice. You exist because he chose to make you. You are here by his choice. Your life is because of him. If I go through all of my life and fail to see that most important truth, that there is a God and I'm not him and yet he loves me, then I have missed the point of life. Elohim. Two thoughts I want to mention about this name besides that. The name Elohim reminds us that we are not at the center of the universe, but God is. The world does not revolve around me. But him. The world doesn't depend and lean on me, but him. How we need to embrace this truth. You know, Genesis 1 is clear that the world did not come about because of itself. It did not just create itself. The theory of evolution is completely wrong. Something cannot come from nothing. There has to be a creator, a beginning, a desire, designer. And the first chapter of the Bible tells us who? God thought it up and made this world. He is behind it. He made all the different types of plants and animals. He made all the different types of human beings. They are made in his image. And it says he breathed life into us, and that's why there is life. There is no Mother Nature. There is not a universe without God. Without Him, there's no life. Today, science, which I love science, but science used to help us better see the wonders of God and the beauties of God and the way He made things and how they work. But today, science is too often in ignorance. Today, trying to understand what is while denying the existence of God, the beginning. And you can't do that. You can't remove God and have it all fit or make sense. Nothing has purpose or definition without God. Even obvious things become confused in our head without the truth of God shining His light on them. Nothing has any meaning or depth or makes sense without God. Only a fool says there is no God. The whole world screams of a creator. Remove Him and the conclusions are all messed up and empty, and people are lost and anxious and left to simply exalt lesser things than the true One who is behind all things. We begin to worship lesser things and become lesser ourselves. We begin to worship created things instead of the Creator, and life will quickly then fall into meaninglessness and evil instead of good. But this is why we must teach our kids and anyone who listens the truth of God and God's Word and what it declares of who He is and how things began, this glorious truth of how the world is not some accident, nor are they. But everything is because He is, and we were made, and He loves us and has a purpose and a plan and an amazing sense of humor and creativity, even in joy. For He's the one who thought up the hippopotamus and the rose and all the colors of the rainbow. And He gave us things like love and laughter and jobs that really matter. You come from Him. You come from somewhere. Someone. How we've got to embrace the truth of Elohim, God. If we don't, we end up making ourselves God, living for our own wants and pleasures into a depressed and dangerous end. The world does not revolve around you. It revolves around Him. So the first step to understanding and acknowledging Elohim and living the life that we were created to live is to include Him in the picture and to put Him back at the center of our life and to step aside, to stop sitting in His seat and in His throne. For this is His world and we His people. This is His story, not mine. I am just a supporting character. He is the main. Who am I to determine right from wrong? Who am I to be standing in the place of judge? I am not. He is. Who am I to be standing in the place of savior? I am not. He is. I can become somebody talking very much like Job's friends, as if I had the answers when I don't. He does. His word is true. Truth, not my word. Who am I to seek the glory and the praise when it all belongs to Him? Oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for making this all about us and putting ourselves in the center. We will never find life and joy and peace and purpose that way. We will only find a void. He's alone the one who can be in the center. He alone is God. We are not God. He is. I would ask you, what have you placed at the center of your life that is not Him? It can even be good things like your kids. Your world can revolve around them, or finding love, or some dream that you always had and feel like you've got to accomplish, or some life that you've pictured that you always want, and some person maybe that you have exalted and made to be everything when they can't be that, or some fear that you've placed at the center that you're trying to avoid. Whatever it is, it can't be Him. It can't do what He can do. It has to be removed from that spot that belongs alone to Elohim. Nothing can take His place in our life. We can love stuff and appreciate stuff. They're God's gifts, but they are not God. And when they become God in our lives, they will destroy us. They will lead us away from what is really life. We will begin to serve the thing instead of the one behind the thing. We will end up making our life an identity about them instead of on Him. And we will get lost. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. There's only one, Elohim. The first commandment God gave to His people on Mount Sinai was, don't have any other gods before me. And how we all can break that command. There's only one Elohim, only one who is worthy of our worship, only one who is behind all things and holds all things, only one who's able to be at the center of our life and the reason why we live. Everything else we put there will fail. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, Elohim. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And so the first lesson we learn from Elohim is that there is a God and we're not Him, and He alone can be the center, not us, not anything else. The second and only other point I wanted to mention today about that name Elohim is that it is plural. It is a really interesting word. It is plural, but it only ever uses singular verbs around it, which is really amazing. If you're a person who studies language or is into that kind of thing, Elohim is plural. It's like saying men instead of man. It refers to one being, one God, but in a plural format, like a unit. It's not translated gods ever, but God, but it's in the plural. It's a very unique thing. A Jew who reads this and doesn't believe in Jesus, they interpret Elohim to mean one God, but with many majesties and glories revealed out in many ways. But for us Christians, the fact that the first name of God at creation is Elohim, a plural with singular verbs, fits perfectly with what we see in the rest of the Bible, that God is one God, and yet in three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one God in three persons, all working in perfect unity, Elohim. It is what we see told to us from the very beginning of Scripture. This also fits what we read at the end of Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26, where it says, God says, Elohim says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. It's singular but plural. We read that the Spirit is hovering over the waters at creation. We hear in Jesus' own teaching about how before Abraham was, I am, and how He was there at the beginning, and how He and the Father are one, and if they've seen Him, they've seen the Father. You see, it all fits. Jesus taught this. He told His disciples this. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Elohim. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that has been made. Colossians 1:16 says of Jesus, in Him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created by Him and for Him. He was there. So the first name of God that we find in Scripture from creation is Elohim, which fits perfectly our understanding of one God in three persons. And of the truth and the faith that we stand upon in Christ, that Jesus was not just some man, but the very Son of God, come to earth to save you and me. And He did what only God can do. He came down, and in the flesh, He saved us. He even got upon a cross. Elohim. The Creator became the created in order to save His creation. The one behind all things, fills all things, the center of all things, the reasons for all things, redeems all things from the beginning and to the end. Elohim, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a God, and I'm not Him, and you're not Him. He is above all. He's the true center and the reason for life. He gave me life, He gave you life, and He wants to be a part of it. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His love and the good purposes for which He made us. You see, my life, your life, it has a reason. And that reason is Him. He is Elohim, the one true God. And I belong to Him. So do you. Have a wonderful Sunday, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.